Hey, welcome to Navigation Church. Pastor Aaron asked if I would you mind if I maybe did a transition video rather than us pulling something, and I said I'm pretty sure the whole church would want to see her. And so just so you know, the sermon goes down from here. Like, not even going to try to compete with that. So for those with us online, I know we had a few problems just a little bit ago, but for those joining us online, we are so grateful that you're with us now. Happy Father's Day to you. And before, in just a second, I want to share a phone number with you. But before I do that, here's what I want to say. When I say Happy Father's Day, I do not want to limit it to just the people who have had biological children. And here's why. We're even going to read a scripture later on today about a man who had a lot of sons. And you are actually a son of his if you ever read and studied any of his letters, but he never had any biological children that we know of on his own. And so I don't think you just have to have a biological son or daughter in order to be a father, because I have many fathers in my life, but only one dad. There's a lot of men who have mentored me, encouraged me, a crazy amount that has disciplined me, but didn't need that hard of a laugh on that. So if you are a man here today and you've had influence over someone in your life, it could be at work, or it could be someone at a school that you teach at, or it could be a neighbor's child that is always feel comfortable at your house, can I just say Happy Father's Day to every one of you today? And we're so glad you're with us. So my sister texted me this morning. She lives in Florida. Happy Father's Day. And my response back to her was, I'm looking forward to Father's Day when I get off of work. And for some reason, like, I was saying, well, I got to get work done today. Somewhere along the line, that changed this morning, because I walked in and the worship team was done ahead of time. People were sitting around laughing, playing, joking. We decided this, just so you know, like, the light bar was really close to falling on me, and someone said we should probably fix that. So, like, everyone, you can look back down here now. It's safe. Like, everyone's staring at that right now. Pan the camera up. It's just a bar with lights on it. And I'm telling you, it was just playful all morning. But then even to start worship the way we did, I can tell that I'm in a playful mood. And so I'm just going to warn you, I do have a spiritual thought for you. Like, one, a single one, that is it, nothing more, nothing less. But I have, like, a single thought for you today. But I want to play today. And in doing this, it's amazing when we start telling stories about our past, the things that come out, but then also the things that we grew up or heard fathers in our life always saying. So, without your help, the sermon is about 12 minutes long today. Maybe 15 minutes if I go down a rabbit trail, but about 15 minutes. So I need your help by, what are the things that, when you think of your dad, what is that saying that he used to say? What is that thought that he drove in on you? What is that? And I need them from you. So right now, a number is going to go up on the screen. It's 314-782-7818. And I need you to text in your thoughts on this. And don't worry, if you have your head down right now, I believe that you're actually doing the job I'm asking you to do. If you have thoughts throughout the sermon, we're going to keep trying to throw this number up. For those online, if you're on Facebook, throw it in the comment section. It'll make its way to me. If you're on our church online, there's the comment section there. Or you yourself can just text 314-782-7818. Now, in saying this, if you are listening to this podcast post this Sunday morning service, no one's going to see this. You're welcome to send a message, but we're going to not check it. This is only for today. This is an interactive thing that I thought would be a good idea. So I'm also going to kind of throw this out there. If the last half of this sermon is just miserable and you're like, why do you just keep reading quotes from dads? This was all my idea. Pastor Aaron, this was all Pastor Aaron's idea. And you can't be mad at him. He has a new baby girl. No, this is just an interactive thing that I want to try to do today. And so if you are here, I'd love to know, what is the thing that you grew up with, a quote that your dad's saying? And I've already seen things are coming in. I love it, because I'd like to touch on that in just a little bit. And so we'll leave the number up there for a while as I kind of give you this opening thought that I have for you. And that is this. We started this conversation on Mother's Day. We're ending it on Father's Day. And when a mommy and daddy love each other very much, a one of you comes out. Okay, if you don't follow that with me, ask the dad in your life to explain it to you. So the one of you came out. And the one of you that came out, think about this, God did not want another one of you ever in the history of the world. Uniquely, He thought about you, he designed you, he made you, and he put you in the family that you are. You may not like the family that you have. You may not know why you were born in America or in a different country, and you're now living here in this time and the season that we're living in. But God, in his infinite wisdom, thought this is the ideal time for you to be born right now. And one of the reasons I believe that God does that is because by putting you in this time, in this place, with this family, coming to this church, you have the greatest opportunity to know him. And so there's a one you, and you have one mind, you have one filter, you have this one belief system, you have one mode of operation, you have one heart that you're supposed to be protecting. So these last couple weeks, we've been talking about you, we've been talking about all these things, but today, to bookend it, I want to talk about the Father. So fathers, here's what I did. I did this good old-fashioned Bible study. I wanted to find this great story that I could, someone's taking my picture right now. How you doing? Hang on. I'll get the pump, the blood flowing real quick. We'll try to pump those things up. Can you Photoshop? Okay, easy. When I say I want to be playful, I want to get like five of you up here with me right now and be like, what do we want to talk about? So the green light threw me off, and I'll try to stay more focused. For those online, I'm sorry ahead of time. So I decided to jump in the Bible to try to figure out what is the best story that I could tell you about a father and kind of pull out spiritual truths and how you should raise your children. And so I started at the very beginning in Genesis. For those who don't know the Bible, Genesis actually means the beginning of what? Everything. The beginning of the worlds, beginning of cultures, beginning of languages, beginning of everything. And so started there with a guy named Adam, and Adam was this amazing head of the household. But when I say head of the household, I mean he was supposed to be the head of the household. And when he should have been the head of the household, he was a blame shifter. And he blamed his wife for a responsibility he should have been taking. And we actually see the trickle-down effect of his poor decision. He apparently never really stepped up to be the head of the household, because eventually one of his sons, who was supposed to step up in the head of his household and worship correctly, rather than doing that, he killed his brother. And so I'm like, well, let's not use Adam, like not the best father figure that I could maybe kind of tell you about today. So then I went to another guy, and you've heard of him before, Abraham. He has a really famous song that you end up kind of doing this whole like spazzing thing in your body. So you have Abraham, and I started thinking about this is Abraham, the father of many nations. And how could we not use him as an ideal father to be able to tell men of the house? Because here's what most Father's Day sermons are, and I'm trying to avoid this. Most Father's Day sermons are just browbeating men why you're not good enough. And because statistics say that. But so I don't want to do that today. I want to find the good father to show you how you're being a good father. And so I went to Abraham, and Abraham, I thought, this is awesome, until I got to the part where basically he had an affair on his wife and had a child out of wedlock, which brought two nations, one's known as Islam, one's known as Christianity. And then not only did he do that, there was a couple times where he should have protected his wife, but instead of protecting his wife because some other guys were going to hit on her, he said, this is my sister. Because he didn't want to get beat up. And then I was like, man, maybe Abraham isn't the ideal person to do that to. So here's what I'll do. I'll look at his nephew Lot. Abraham was a great guy. Maybe we can filter down and use some of Lot's story in order to tell you about great fathers who are in the Bible that you can kind of take wisdom from. And then I read this part about Lot. And by the way, this is a horribly disgusting part of the story. Some men came to Lot's house, and there were men of the city that wanted to kind of have their way with them. And Lot gave his two daughters over to him, who were both virgins. And when I say that didn't work out well, it was unto death. And so I thought Lot maybe isn't the ideal person. Jacob. This is who we're going to talk about today. Jacob, the man who wrestled with God. Men, can you see me now talking about cutting a promo on you, coming off the top elbow with a flying elbow? Jacob, man who wrestled with God. And then until you read his story, and he was just a pathological deceiver. Okay, so Jacob's probably not the guy who we want. Moses. We got to go with Moses, the man who led the nation of Israel out of captivity after murdering someone. Okay, we're moving on. Who's next on the list? Saul. Saul's, he was the king of Israel. This guy was so awesome that his dad named him Saul. He's going to be the king of Israel. And the king of Israel, he was so bad that God replaced him almost immediately, and he couldn't even pass the kingship down to his first son, Jonathan. A guy named David took it. So we should focus on David. Nope, you know David's story. right? David, murderer and adulterer. So he topped Moses. Way to go, buddy. Like he kicked it up a notch. We went from there to Moses, so we should go to Eli. Eli was a priest in the house of God who was supposed to take the children of Israel into the Holy of Holies in order for God to talk to him. And he was such a bad father that his sons were so wicked, they were removed from the priesthood. And Samuel was put in his place. And so here's the thing. I just kept reading and reading about all these dads, and they all made it in the Bible. And here's what the thought I end up having is, hey, guys, if you've messed up in your life and still love Jesus, you qualify to be in the Bible. Like, I couldn't find it. And then I thought, and some of you are not going to be happy with this joke. Here it is. And then I thought, I'll use God the Father. And it was like, God the Father set his son up to die. Is that what you want me to pitch you this morning? And I know some of you are laughing at that, but don't feel like you should, because it was the old Jesus who died for our sins, so I won't make you like feel awkward any longer. So I'm just trying to think, how can I possibly find the ideal father? And then that's where it realized, here's my first thought for you. Hey, dads, we're not perfect. And nowhere in the Bible does it tell us to be perfect. It calls us to perfection. Right? It tells us to grow and mature and to go on. But there's all these times in my life when I'm working with my kids that when I get done, I know that I did it wrong. And one of the things that my wife and I have decided to do for our children is model how to repent. And I don't do that by taking them in and saying, here's where you were wrong. Let me walk you through a prayer. I pull them in and say, here's where Daddy was this morning. When you did this and I responded like this, this is why this is unhealthy. And so at the end of the day, I don't have to feel like I can measure up to the men of the Bible. Truth be told, half of them, I don't even want to measure up to who they killed. I mean, what they did. Like, I already feel better about myself. And so, men, when it comes to being a father, we do need to do this. We need to be intentional about it. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I believe parenting is a temporary job. We get children, and what, 18, 21 years, we can have direct influence into their life, but eventually they go on. And so, fathers, I do want to say this to you. Don't forget about your relationship with your wife. The bookend that we have on this, the worst thing that can happen is the children that are in between after an 18-year journey, you drift apart. So focus on that relationship there. But then when it comes to our children, you ready for this? I have one thought for you. Before I throw out this thought, I'm going to do me a favor. Help me throw a phone number back up on the screen right now. I have one thought for you, and it's going to come to us out of 2 Timothy. But if you have thoughts about your father, what is the phrase that he always said? Watching online, 314-782-7818. If you could make sure to throw those statements to me, I would love to just read collectively what are the things that our fathers taught us. Because guess what? The fathers in the Bible pulled out spiritual wisdom that we've had throughout the years. Today, let's see if there's not some spiritual wisdom still in this house. And so 314-782-7818. And for those watching online, you can throw it in the chat right now. You can put it in, you can DM, however you want to. We got our pastoral team there ready to serve you and to get that message to us. So here's what we're going to do. I want to read to you one simple scripture out of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 2. And I'm going to boil today's message down to one word. And here we go. It says, as for you, my son, be strong through the grace that is ours in the union of Jesus Christ. Let's just pause here real quick. So you have Paul writing to a man named Timothy, and he immediately addresses him, my son. As far as we can tell, and when I say we, I mean theologians much smarter than I, Paul never had any of his own children. And so Paul right now is talking to Timothy, who's not a biological child of his, but in the faith, he would consider him a son. And so, as I mentioned earlier, and I want to repeat now, I do not believe the only person that you can influence in your life are the direct children that you gave birth to. I believe there can be people all around you all the time that you can be intentional to pour out in. That makes you a father. That makes you a mother, specifically in the faith. And Paul goes on to write to Timothy. He says, take the teaching that you heard me proclaim in the presence of many witnesses and entrust them to reliable people who will be able to teach others also. So here's the one word, fathers, that I specifically want to give to you today, and that's the word entrust. So what Paul just said to Timothy is, there was a while back that you heard me in front of a group of people declaring some truth, declaring some wisdom, and I'll let you know now, it was about a man named Jesus Christ. But you were with me long enough that I entrusted you with this word, with this understanding, with this revelation. Now, Timothy, as you go out, here's what your job is to now take what I've entrusted to you and find who can I now entrust it to someone else. Entrust this wisdom, entrust this understanding. And so, fathers, here's what I would say. When it comes to your children, are you entrusted with them or do you own them? See, first of all, when it comes to owning people, I believe there's a lot of laws out there that say you're not allowed to do that. Right? You're allowed to say that amen a little louder, Linda. I love you for that. There are laws that we don't own other people. So the question is, do you own your children? Or have you been entrusted with your children? And when it comes to entrust, see, I think an ownership mindset and an entrusted mindset, how we manage those two things and how we're intentional about those two things are different. Because if we own them, we just tell them they need to love Jesus. And then we wonder why our kids hit college age and go out and find out there's a world out there beyond them and beyond the way that their parents think. Next thing we know, they never want anything to do with God or family again. And it's because did we ever entrust them with the wisdom of who Jesus Christ is, or did we own them and try to tell them what they had to believe? If we own our children, then we can vicariously live through them by taking them out on a soccer field and demanding for them to perform at the highest level, because somehow I as a dad receive validation when you do something good. Amen. By the way, I just spent all day yesterday on a soccer field. I know I don't look burnt because I did a little sunscreen on my arms, not on the top of my feet. So just to know, as I'm standing here barely moving, there's a reason why we go in sandals this afternoon. And so, but it was amazing when teams would get down, the energy of different fathers on the sideline demanding for their kids to perform. My kid happened to be the best out there, so I didn't have to. So I'll go ahead and throw that, slide that one on the table. Sir, if you got the word entrust, that's all you're going to get from me today right now anyway. So, but when we demand these things from our kids and they have to act away and they do a certain thing, versus what if we view our children as someone that God's entrusted to us for a season before they move out onto their own? But the question is, while they're with us, this thing that we've been entrusted with, known as the kingdom of God, the gospel of Jesus, whatever label you want to put it, what if I viewed my life as trying to entrust it to them and give this thing for them to look at and to own and to have? Yesterday morning before my son, I'll tell you who it was Gideon. Gideon and Judah were in a 3v3 tournament yesterday, and one of the teams that Gideon was a part of recruited some new players, and Gideon wasn't one of the new players. But Gideon's team that he's on now was going to face them yesterday. So Gideon woke up and just said, "Dad, I'm ready to play." And by the way, when he's in beast mode, it's hot. Like, it's awesome. Like, he wants to burn the place up. And so I was like, "Buddy, you know, you're going to be going out there. You're as good as all them." And by the way, personally, I think the reason why we're not on the better team is because we refuse to travel every weekend and spend thousands of dollars at soccer tournaments. And because it's not a skill thing, but I'm also believe my kid's the best. I've already said that. But Gideon's on the couch talking to me. No one else is up yet. And I said, "Well, buddy, if you're going to go at it, you know, I'm there for you. The only thing I ever ask is never for you to be the best player on the field. What I ask for you is to take what God has given you and perform it to the best of your ability. Because I'll never praise you for gifts and talents, but I'll always encourage you to take the five, the three, the one talent that God gave you and double it." And Gideon said, "You know what I think I want to do other than just trying to beat everybody?" And I promise this is what he said. He goes, "Today I'm going out there just to glorify God in every way I can." So I go, "What do you mean by that? Like, that's a great line that Mama Rye fed you." Right? I mean, somehow all of our kids, every night when we do prayers, somewhere along the line, one of the kids, when they go to pray, they'll say, and I echo or I affirm everything that Gideon said, that Silas said. Cammie and I have never done that, and I'm just pretty sure somewhere at school or family, they've heard that before. And so it's great that you can echo what it is we've heard for you to say in the past, but I'd like to dig down a little bit and go, what do you mean by giving God glory? And he said, it's not if I win or lose. While I'm on that field, am I getting mad? Am I yelling at the refs? And he started naming all these things that would be in a negative attributes. And he said, but if I just get out there and I'm encouraging to the team, and I'm telling you, I just sat down. I almost took an offering after he was done preaching. It was that good. Like, is you got a bucket? Okay, we don't do that anymore? Okay, I'll give online. And so, like, I don't know who's over here, but I'm talking to you. And he just began explaining what it was to give glory to God through soccer. So I'm here to tell you now, you don't give glory to God because you show up on a Sunday morning. You give glory to God when you get behind the school bus, when you get to the hairdresser, when you get to the nursing station, when you get to your school, when you get to Mallinckrodt, when you, whatever those things might be. That's where you give God glory, because we take the gifts that inside of us. But has anyone ever entrusted you with the understanding that you give glory to God, not by where you go and what you attend, but the actual actions in your life that you do? I'm entrusting you with that wisdom now. But can I give that to my children so one day when they're outside of my umbrella of authority, they said this, it isn't Dad's God, it's my God. Paul to Timothy, Timothy to others, David to Judah, Judah to others, he's entrusted me. What if my mindset was, because I don't know if you guys have learned this before, children, they don't learn through osmosis. Everything that comes natural to me, they came down the canal empty, blank. They didn't know anything to do except to be selfish. I don't know if you know this about children. All they want to do is cry and you jump. All they want to do is sleep and you rock. All they want to do is poop and you clean. They're the most selfish things in the world. That's the only thing they know how to do, is make it all about them. But then somewhere along the line, they begin walking, and they begin talking, and when you say, take the dishes over to the sink, and they walk and drop it, and cheese flies up on the window, you just think to yourself, why did you drop it in here? Or they do this, and by the way, if you clear tables like this, you're wrong, and I'm here to help you today. If you take all the table, the plates from the table and stack it so you can take one load to the sink, you're doing it wrong. Now you have to rinse both sides. Okay? Get... Dad used to tell me, don't stack the plates. It's stupid. Or you're stupid. I don't know what the word was. So, but even yet, I mean, one of my boys, we're sitting, they stacked the plates, and Gideon goes, why are you stacking them? Now you got to clean both sides. And my heart was so happy. I was like, that's right. I've entrusted you with that wisdom. This is, get your steps in. You have two hands, take trips. Balance them with multiple fingers. You can make this happen. And so, like, we see these things that our kids are doing. But when it comes to the kingdom of God, they will not know the faith you know, because they haven't walked the journey that you've walked, and they haven't been revealed to the Jesus that showed himself to you. So instead of telling them just your story, will you entrust them to Jesus and with God to experience it on their own? My oldest boy, Judah, this morning, by the way, if you don't know this, our youth jumped in buses or vans this morning to head out to Big Stuff. 15-hour drive. Bless them. I'm at home. But it started with this. It started with two screws in the front tire of one of the vans. I don't care. It's not my trip. And so... easy. Yeah. Is that a flag? A father's calling me out on Father's Day, so... No, I stayed up here long enough. I didn't actually. I went home and I get cleaned up to go to work. And so, but someone asked me, they said, are you nervous or concerned about your son leaving today? And they're saying, no, because I know the church he's a part of. I know the leaders that are going with him. And if there's one desire that I have as he leaves to go on this trip, go find your Jesus. Not... Being a pastor's son, I know this, it's hard to find Jesus in your mommy and daddy's church. Because it's my style. It's what we want to create here. But some of you, you find Jesus by walking in the woods. Take your kids on a walk with you. some of you that find it in book clubs. Some of you want to sit around and talk for hours, and repeat things for hours. Jesus isn't there, but if that's where you find Jesus. Last night, one of my boys had an interaction with a friend of his, and for a while tried to paint it as he was the victim. But then, because of an amazing family that we know, talking back and forth, there was just an honest question that was asked to him. Did you do this? And he said, yes. And I said, well, why don't, instead of just saying sorry, why don't we repent for that? And he actually said, I want to do that. And he began praying to Jesus. And he began crying at 8 years old because he realized it wasn't this person that he hurt. It wasn't this lie that he told. It was a Father in heaven that he had offended. And if we get that right, if we can entrust that to our kids, the trickle down to all the rest of the relationships get better. So fathers, on this Father's Day, here's my word for you. You've been entrusted with children. You've been entrusted with disciples. You've been entrusted with sons and daughters. Now, what is it that's inside of you that God once passed on to them? And let's intentionally do that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, here we go. See, I told you 15, 20 minutes. That's everything I have. Oh, we got a lot of them. I love it. 54 text messages that have come in. Order and lunch. Can I read? Is that what you just said? Love this. Money doesn't grow on trees. Okay, so that wasn't the only dad that ever said it. Here's what I actually love about this. So here's a different way that I would say it is. Not only does money not grow on trees, this is an opportunity to show them the ability to say no, right? Because if parents, if we say yes to everything, eventually they'll meet the real world. Or they'll live a life of debt, so we're setting them up for something. And so there is something powerful in having longings. This is great. You better get an education. Love that. You should go into sales, salesmen, salespeople make the most money. Actually, the people who own the business that own the salesmen, they make the most money. Go ahead and say that now. Go ahead and become an entrepreneur. Life gives you lemons, make lemonades. But let me tell you, don't just drink it. Sell that lemonade and turn the lemons into cash. That's fantastic. That one I do like. God, family, country, in that order. Oh, I like this one. The world will tell you that you can be anything. I tell you, be a good man. That's fantastic. Yeah, you can be a liar. You can be a cheat. You can be a swindle. You can do all kinds of things. Yep. Life will bring you fire. You can either choose to either be consumed by it or you can be forged by it. Oh, we got to stop there and preach for a second. I like that one. You know, here's the thing. When the storms of life, the heat of life, the pressures of life come, I believe it's the greatest chance for change in your life because name the last time everything was good and you decided to make a major life change. Amen. We get comfortable. We get happy. Years ago, so for those who don't know, Mom and Dad were my pastors. So I grew up in their church and then eventually became the pastor of their church, and we are now at Navigation Church. And I remember one time my parents were told and encouraged by, if everything in your church is fine, you need to create a crisis. That was what an outside pastor told them, because a crisis is what pushes us towards Christ. So they burned the building down. No, that's not true. That's still under investigation. Yeah. No one's watching anyway. Ask your mom. Oh, every time a new one comes in, I scroll to the bottom. Here we go. Think smarter, not harder. Oh, this, okay. Get her done. I need to know if someone actually had a dad that said that to him, or if that one was a joke. That's fantastic. Yes, and he's sitting on the third row right here. Get her done. That is fantastic. Go cut your sleeves off. It'll make more sense when you say it. That is fantastic. Get her done. Okay, here we go. Hang on a second. Do as I say, not as I do. Well, I was going to put it up for a vote, but I think you answered it. Here's the thing. More is caught than taught. Have you ever heard that phrase? Do as I say, not as I do. See, if we don't actually do it, do we place any value on it? Or are we actually just giving an indictment of the character that we currently have? Man, that's a do as I say, not as I do. For the person that sent that in, I don't know any names. I'm not seeing any of that. So we just encourage you not to continue that lack of Proverbs in your life. If you get mad, you just have to get glad. Boy, that's easier said than done. Good morning, daughter. It's the first day of the rest of your life. That's an interesting perspective. No, I know I didn't have a joke for that one. I actually had a cute story I was planning on telling, but I'm getting heckled now. So here's my joke. No. I started thinking a while back that I was going to start these journals for each one of my kids for the day of their wedding. Because, number one, I'm planning on being there, and I'm kind of hoping I do it. Now, I'm going to leave it up to the children what spiritual leader they want to perform their wedding. And here's how this thought came to me. I was watching a movie called Tenet. Have you ever heard of this one? It's the most confusing thing you'll ever watch. It's really dumb at the end. So if you haven't seen it, spoiler alert, you won't get it. And so I'm watching Tenet, and I'm having to focus on it. And my daughter came down and wanted to cuddle with me. But I was focused on trying to get this movie. And I realized, what if this is the last time? What if this was the last time she wanted to cuddle with me? Because there will come a day that my teenage or grown-up daughter won't climb on the couch and let me hold her in her arms. There will be a day that my oldest son won't take the kiss on the lips, but maybe on the cheeks. And every moment that I engage in now, I have the thought of, is this the last one? Is this the last time I get to hear her cackle like that? Because there's this baby laugh that they have that you don't get back. What you get is, Dad, that joke is dumb. And out of the three, or the four kids, three get that the most often. So I like that. This is your first day of the rest of your life. You're my favorite. Don't tell others. That's mine. I didn't write that one, but I definitely say that. Even my nieces and nephews, I'll go, like, you're my favorite Vernon. You're my favorite Kermit. You're my, like, I'll say that to them, and I think everyone knows I do it. And if not, they're probably not watching. And so I'm really pessimistic today. I feel that. Oh, quit griping and start running. That's funny. Yes, I'm just reading these. It sent this one. Let's see if you can name it. I brought you into this world, and I can take you out. You've heard it, yes. Yeah. This is a Bill Cosby quote. Bill Cosby 49. Was that the name of the comedy thing? Bill Cosby 49. Before prison, yeah. I'm repeating that joke, not making it. Too soon? Okay, that one was mine. Don't ever own more than 6 houses at once. I don't have input for that. You're definitely in a different financial class than I am, so. By the way, that ask your mom, it's come in so many times that they've just told me how many times it has come in. If a job's worth doing, it's worth doing it right. So, fathers, here's another way to do it. Are we doing this for the paycheck, or are we doing it for the glory of God? Are we doing it because we think a boss is watching us, or because our Father in heaven is watching us? That's beautiful. Never give up is coming in multiple times. I love this one. Have fun storming the castle. I think this is an Amston-only one. How many have ever seen Princess Bride? Right after Magic Mike gave the pill, will it work? It'll take a miracle, right? Have fun storming the castle. So literally every time we're leaving one of our houses, we yell that to each other. Have fun storming the castle. So
it was Miracle Max, not Magic Mike.
It was Miracle Max. What did I say? Did I say Magic Mike? Bow. Okay, so like... If you drop a beat right now, I'm telling you, I'm sweating after that joke. Like, I said Miracle Mike, huh? That, or Magic Mike. That's fantastic. Cammy's favorite movie. What can I say? It's on all the time. That one will get to her. Sometimes I think you guys won't tell on me. That one I definitely think will. So no matter what the issue is, go drink some water. Yeah. Ooh, I like this one. By the way, you wrote this like in King James Version. I love it. He who hoots with the owls at night won't soar with the eagles at dawn. That is good. I may write a book just on that one line. Children are to be seen, not heard. I just remember a little story about Jesus sitting around with a bunch of people trying to quiet children, and he said, don't stop the children from coming to me, but you just believe what you want to. Measure once, cut twice. My dad should have said cut even, you know what I'm saying? But I have a finger. I did, dear Jesus, look, we believe in miracles. So, okay, I need to open this. This came up. What? Measure twice. I'm apparently reading too fast and quoting dirty movies, so measure twice, cut once. There was the joke, or line. I told you this is either going to be really good or bad. I'm feeling the pressure right now. So this is a great story that someone sent in, and the bottom line was the dad said to the daughter, you know, you can do anything you put your mind to. And she was able to conquer the thing that she was facing at the time. My dad taught me to never put silverware directly on the table, to always put it on a napkin or a plate. I like that. You know, here's the reason I like that. Whenever my kids answer my phone now and they're unable to say hello, who is it? Like, it's amazing. They don't know how to properly say goodbye on a phone. There's been some things in my life, and this is a small one, I actually, with every one of my kids, have taken time to show them how to give a handshake. Because when I go to reach a hand out and a kid just lifts his other hand and, like, hang on. First of all, if you're the limp fish handshaker, I'm going to teach you something. If you reach your hand out and it's soft, it's weird for the other person. Okay? Can I say this?
You
get your thumbs in there. Lock them in and show them you're a man or a really great woman. Okay, just let's make this right. Just this limp fish stuff. I don't know what to do with it. Her nickname is Summer. Okay, I said the. Oh, I like this one. Everybody is somebody to somebody. Talk about treating with respect. Let's pray about it. That's a wonderful father. Oh, I love this one. Let's end on this one. I love you. I love you. Parents, they don't know it unless we say it. I choose to be affectionate to my children. I choose to take time to say goodbye to them. Words have meaning, and words carry power. So like for me, when my kids are going to school every day, I don't say, have fun at school. I say, enjoy your work today. With the mindset that they're going, there's a job to do and to accomplish it. Billy Graham, now been taken over by his son, Franklin Graham, had a ministry that most people know around the world. They called him the pastor to America. They called him the pastor to presidents. There isn't a leader around the world that he doesn't know or hasn't spent time with. My guess is if you get a phone call at your office that Billy Graham would like to talk, my guess is you took that phone call no matter who you were. In an article that I found, Billy Graham was asked this, do you have any regrets in life? And he said, yes, I have three. I wish I would have studied more, talked less, and spent more time with my family. When it comes to the greatest, in my opinion, pastor of my lifetime, as far as influence, impact, and ongoing just legacy and heritage, for a man like that, who his kids were always seen around him, who have taken up his mantle and continue to carry it on, for him to say one of the biggest regrets that he has in life is he didn't give more time to his family. My question is, are you as busy as Billy Graham? Are you as influential as Billy Graham? Do you have the demands of a Billy Graham? If not, you may have time in your schedule to spend a little more time with your family. Father in heaven, we love you. We worship you this morning. This was a different service. But Lord, I want to have fun as fathers. And so I just, for everyone who sent in a message, the literally hundreds that are sitting in front of us right now, we just thank you for being a part of this with us. But then now, take that thought that your dad always had, and how can we make it the biblical worldview that it should be? Some are, some aren't. Some are there, some may just need scriptures. But God, may we even see that the things that our fathers said are some of the modes of operation we still believe today. And so, Lord, fathers in this house, bless them. Spiritual fathers and the influence they have on the people around them, bless them. The young people that are yet to be either, Lord, may we be the model they need to see in order to become the men of God that you're calling them to. But also on this day, God, we thank you for the women of our lives that make us the men that we are. We thank you for this conversation that started on Mother's Day, but then we are the fathers we are because of the family and the women in our life, and we bless them. And Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.